Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement. From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Herb Kelton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Mary Shipp, Al Kelly, Billy Sands, our singing star Dick Farney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallen. Ladies and gentlemen, with the appearance of the new 1948 automobiles on the streets, we salute the opening of the motoring season. Many people have seen the star of our show behind a wheel. They'd rather see him under a wheel. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you, Whistler's mother. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, this year the automobile industry has really outdone itself. What cars? This year the Chevys look like Buicks, the Buicks look like Cadillacs, and the Cadillacs look like Sydney Greenstreet. And that joke looked like nothing. I just got my new car. Lovely. What a bargain. I got it on a trade-in. $2,000 and my mother. Boy, what a car. It came with a whip for beating red lights.
A whip for
beating red lights. Get that whip and I'll beat my rider. But, no, it's a wonderful equipment with the car. It came with a silencer to keep the back of the car quiet. It fits right over her mouth. Really.
Burl, yes? More important matters than new cars are in the news today. Congress just voted a cut in New Year's taxes.
In what?
Next year's taxes.
In New Year's taxes?
Well, it's a new year.
You got up on the wrong side of the slab this morning. New Year's taxes. You mean next year's taxes? I was about to say, I know about it, Mr. Gallivan. It's wonderful. Now when they clean out your pockets, they leave you the lint. But the big news in New York is the fight to raise the subway fare from a nickel to 8 cents. They want to keep out the riffraff. But New York is gay. Oh, it's wonderful. Isn't it happy tonight? The circus is in town. 37 elephants paraded down Fifth Avenue. New York hasn't seen so much ivory since Dick Hames and Don Ameche smiled at each other. Oh, Mr. Gallup, you get those jokes? I'm dynamite tonight, dynamite.
Too bad you forgot to light the fuse.
Are you kidding, Mr. Gallup? Too bad. Listen to that studio audience scream at me.
That's true. People always leave this program with aching ribs.
Big laughs, eh?
No, narrow seats.
Watch that, Mr. Gallup. Watch that. Ad-libbing. No ad-libbing. Matching wits with Milton Berle, king of the ad-libbers.
King?
Yeah.
You kill me.
I'd like to, but somebody beat me to it. Get that Gallup. He's at that awkward stage. Too late for adrenaline and too early for embalming fluid. Did you hear that lady laugh? Gee, and I thought my mother was in California. Well, you hear those jokes I told? I guess that squelches you, Mr. Gallup.
Are you quite through, Big Belly?
Big Belly? Me? I'm fat?
Be honest, Burl. Is that all you, or are you dancing with someone?
Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something.
Quiet, peasant.
Yeah.
Mr. Gallup, you can't talk to me like that. I'm the star.
Star?
Yes.
If it wasn't so much trouble rearranging my face, I'd laugh.
Mr. Gallup, I'd answer you, but I refuse to stoop that low.
You're right. If you stoop too low, you're liable to hit your head on your hooper.
That, Mr. Gallup, was the unkindest cut of all, mentioning my hooper rating.
I'm sorry, Burl. It was rather brutish of me.
Yeah, it was. I mean it. Don't laugh. That hooper rating. I just got the latest report. It shows that 87% of the actors on this program aren't listening. I am now so far down on the rating that they threw me out of the Radio Actors Union and maybe joined the United Mine Workers. But let us go on and amuse the diehards who are still laughing. What is our subject tonight, Mr. Gallup?
Motoring and the new automobile.
Ah, yes, automobiles. How things have changed in buying automobiles. remember it was a long time ago. I went into an auto sales room to buy a car. As I opened the door, the dealer rushed toward me.
A customer! It's a miracle! Oh, Mr. Burl, you've come in for a new car.
Maybe.
Oh, please, Mr. Burl, take this one. Drive it around for a couple of years. If you don't like it, just dump it somewhere on the street. We'll pick it up later.
Wait a minute. I don't like that radiator cap. That bronze bust of Bernard McFadden shooting a bow and arrow.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, I don't.
We'll replace it with the head of one of our vice presidents.
In bronze?
No, the real head.
What's the price of the car?
$300 with all accessories.
$300, eh? It's absurd. Where's my hat?
Oh, wait, please. We'll allow you $300 on your old car.
I haven't got an old car.
We'll give you one.
Well, that'll bring it down to exactly nothing.
Right. Here are the keys. Drive it away.
There I go again. No sales resistance. I don't know. Ah, but things have changed. A few weeks ago, I went back to that same auto agency to buy a new car. I opened the door. Hello. Remember me? Milton.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Now, what do you want?
I want a new car.
Put $500 under that table before I even talk to you.
$500? Oh, all right, there. Now, about the car...
Shut up!
Yeah.
I ain't got any. Beat it.
But wait a minute. I just gave you $500 under the table.
That was for the table. It's yours. Take it home.
But I want a new car.
Okay, it'll be $10,000. All clean singles.
$10,000?
Shut up!
Well, when can I have delivery?
How old are you?
35.
You'll never make it.
Well, I'll try. $10,000...
That's without the accessories.
Well, good. I don't want the accessories.
Shut up!
I'll take them.
The car comes with a heater. That's $300.
I'll take it.
A combination radio, phonograph, and plumber's kit, $600.
I'll take it.
A white sidewall ashtray, $60.
I'll take it.
A CCNY windshield sticker, $40.
I'll take it.
A raccoon tail for the radiator cap, $70.
I'll take it.
A DTT spray gun for the fleas on the raccoon tail, $90.
DDT.
That's poison.
I'll take it. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, for many of you who are now planning your summer motoring trips, we are very fortunate in having with us tonight a member of the Federal Highway Commission to solve any confusion that you may have about where to go and how to get there. Here he is, Mr. C.C. Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Finster.
Thank you, thank you.
Mr. Finster, where is a nice, quiet place where New Yorkers can drive for a peaceful weekend?
I can recommend no nicer place than the Hotel Marcy Bloden Street, which is closed on the fair, right near the Manhattan Lake of Escalmont. There's swimming, boating, carbine, and flubbing. But for athletes, there's also a grizzly fly, some lamy steak, a snug dubby, and whatever you care for to say. Now, you see, in the morning, they ring a big hat. See, then they strilled, they smived, some even patting me in the forceps, and they have a grazing place without knowing how to tie a brace of glass. You'll go nuts.
Mr. Finster, where can motorists who are planning long trips get road maps?
Motorists?
Yes?
Go directly to the Department of Everglazing Place Format, which is based on the track. Now, it's on the 20th line floor, right next to a door that says, Men. Are you planning a vacation? Walk in. Ask to see a Miss Lydna Heffenbibble. She will tell you that they only planned the trip, but they also say that once she was cold with fame, but she didn't have that driver. But later she proved she got off at Buffalo.
Mr. Finster, for those planning cross-country trips, what route does your department recommend?
You know, I'm glad you asked me that.
Are you?
You see, you take Highway 7 to Bauman, which is based right near the class. There you will transfer on a bus, which will take you to a paddock store where you have a grazing.
Yeah, but I thought...
No, you can't expect it, because you know that anything you're doing on the place leaves you would only expand. I know what you want to cause.
Yeah, but they say that...
That has all been over with. We can't even take that class. We want you to know that I am the three. And furthermore, you can't talk to me. I tell you that there's only one way for you to graze. Take anything that you want to cause.
I
am the one who invited the place. You don't understand
all
nothing.
Right.
What do you know
Thank
about
you
a place?
Much.
Because you want to cause...
Thank you, Mr.
Finster.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Gallup. Vacationing and motoring. The call of the open road. Do you remember the days with that one and only girl snuggle up beside you in the rumble seat as you sang, give me the road, the white winding highway. Just let me see the unbeaten byway, and I'll travel alone, singing a vagabond song. Thank you, Fred Herring.
You put that in. I didn't know that.
Ah, Cynthia. Cynthia, precious memories of motoring with Cynthia. Remember, Cynthia, I would cut driving past your house, and out you would come barking and snapping at the tires. Fun-loving Cynthia, there's only one thing you knew about cars. If someone honked the horn, you got in. Do that other bit again, kid. Cynthia, my little mechanic, all by yourself you took a car apart. The only help you got was from a telephone pole. The only help you got... Oh, help. Yes. Cynthia. Cynthia, down Lover's Lane with Cynthia. Remember that rainy night when we parked? It was so romantic, but you kept shaking your head. No, I didn't know your nose was caught in the windshield wiper. Oh, that's a good one. But it was the little things I remember about you, Cynthia. That time that the crank kicked back, hit you in the mouth, and broke your father's teeth. You were afraid to go home and tell him. It was your mother's turn to use them. That's why I'll keep singing. I'll travel along, singing a vagabond song.
Ladies and gentlemen, enough words have been written about cigarettes and smoking pleasure to fill every library from here to Timbuktu. But you will never hear words that make more sense, words that are more important to you who smoke than the words you are about to hear now. For these words were written by one of America's top-ranking doctors. Listen to what the doctor had to say.
I have often suggested to patients who smoke that they change to Philip Morris.
And why does the doctor advise this change to Philip Morris? Listen.
I have seen the results of such a change, and the results have convinced me that Philip Morris cigarettes are less irritating than other brands.
Remember, if your cigarette leaves your throat dry and parched, if it makes you cough or leaves a stale, musty taste in your mouth, these definitely are reasons for a change to Philip Morris. So join the thousands who every day are discovering in Philip Morris a milder, fresher, cleaner smoke, a deeper, richer smoking pleasure than they've ever known before. Yes, call for Philip Morris. And remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
Stanley Steamer, played by Ray Block, the Philip Morris Orchestra. And wonderful Ray. Oh, that Ray Block. What a musician. See those earphones he wears? That's a direct wire to his bookmaker. Yeah, everything his bookie says goes in one ear and out through his pocket. Oh, that's a bad one. And now, as we continue our salute to motoring, we present...
Motoring Forum tonight. Motoring Forum tonight. The question, with cars easier to get, why does Milton Berle continue to make a Nash of himself?
Thank you, Mr. Gallivan. And let's have some questions from our audience. All right, let's start with this gentleman in the third row holding a ticket to the first Dodger game in one hand and a pop bottle in the other. Yes, sir?
Mr. Berle, I'm getting tired of the same old heap year in and year out. On the street, people point and say, look at that broken down old wreck.
Why don't you get rid of the old wreck?
I'd like to, but she won't give me a divorce.
Nothing. Thank you. Let us continue. All right, this young man with the black market recording machine giving Ray Block the eye. What is your name, young man?
My name is Cynthia.
Cynthia? Just Cynthia?
Yeah, like it's just Hildegard. Mine is just Cynthia.
I see what you mean.
I'm not the Cynthia you sing all them love songs to.
I know.
I'm not your type.
Never mind. You have a question. You have a question that has to do with motoring.
You must be kidding with a question like that. Say you're kidding, huh?
No, I just
thought... What's the matter, ain't there? Nobody left to steal from but Madman Munch.
But I...
Boy, you mean material like doing these votes in Wisconsin.
But I just...
You couldn't get a laugh if your mother went around with a whip and made everyone yuck it up.
That's not...
You couldn't get a laugh if you had Henny Youngman's jokes on Frank Gallup's face.
Please.
Ah, your mother's a clockster.
Please. Don't applaud, please. It brings the dust down from the balcony. Now... Let us go on with the questions from the women folk. All right, this lady in the second row wearing the open-toed gloves. What is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
See? And you have a question that has to do with motoring.
Yeah, how can I stop my husband from smashing up cars? I think he's studying to be a cab driver.
He's reckless?
He claims when he drives, everyone's safe on the street.
They're safe on the street?
He drives on the sidewalk.
Well, that's terrible.
Him and his fancy driving. You should see how he can stop on a dime. For that, they threw him in jail.
They threw him in jail for stopping on a dime?
Yeah, the dime was in a pedestrian's pocket.
I understand. Your husband is really a bad driver.
He's terrible nearsighted. It's a good thing there's a white line down the middle of the road.
He watches the white line?
He feels it.
No kidding. Oh, that's different.
I hate to drive out to Coney Island with him. It's sure a bumpy ride.
But to drive out to Coney Island isn't bumpy.
On the subway track?
Oh. Mrs. Feeney, let me understand. Your husband drives along the subway tracks?
If he doesn't follow the Sea Beach local, he gets lost.
Mrs. Feeney, your husband is certainly a reckless driver.
Yeah, he always wants to race a train to the railroad crossing.
He races trains to crossing?
Yeah, I'm getting tired of coming into Grand Central on the cowcatcher.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we conclude our forum on motoring with our honored guest. He is one of the country's most daring auto racers, whose daredevil, reckless feats have thrilled thousands. None other than Barney Cannonball Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. This most glorious and heartwarming opportunity to say hi there to the many racing fans who have watched me racing for the championship for years and finally saw me get it in the end.
Tell us, Mr. Feather.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I lie down? I'm dragging.
You're dragging? You're tired?
On the way here, I picked a button off the sidewalk. I think I strained myself.
Well, Mr. Featherfield, a button isn't heavy.
Well, this one had Eisenhower on it.
Oh, I see. Well, how did you ever get into auto racing?
Well, my father was an auto racer until he had a horrible accident.
Yeah? Well, what was the accident?
Me. They weren't expecting me.
No, they weren't? What were they expecting?
A baby.
Must have been a shock. Mr. Featherfield, I understand that for this year's Indianapolis Racing Classic, you've designed your own car.
Yes, the Featherfield Torpedo.
Hmm?
I used the motor from a Mixmaster. I used melted butter for oil. And instead of gasoline, it runs on a can of Sterno.
Is your car fast?
Well, it's not very fast, but it makes delicious popcorn. Mr. Burrell, I'm getting as corny as you.
Now, wait a minute. Control yourself, please, Mr. Featherfield, please. No, please. Control yourself.
I can't help it. I feel so jazzy tonight.
Mr. Featherfield, does your wife drive an automobile?
She's still taking lessons.
I see.
She's just learning how to aim it. She's a big one.
She is. Your wife is a little stocky?
Yes, live stocky.
Mr. Featherfield, in your driving career, have you ever been stopped by a traffic cop?
No, but my wife was. The cop yelled at her, "Hey, Mac."
Hey, Mac. He thought she was a man?
He thought she was a truck.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you very much.
And here is our singing star, Dick Farney, to sing Milton Berle's latest song.
I give a million to my for just one yesterday. I'd give a million to hold you the same sweet tender way. I to blame. I can't tell a lie. I've never been the same since we said goodbye. I give up every possession if you come back to stay. I'd give a million tomorrow for just one yesterday. I'd give a million tomorrow.
Singing my song, the song I wrote. Gee, thanks. You know, hearing your own song that you write and you hear done so beautifully, it's like hearing your little baby for the first time say, homogenized. But what were we just... I'm so wrapped up in that. What were we discussing tonight, Mr. Gallup?
Motoring.
Yeah, motoring. I was just checking to see if you were alive. You know, Mr. Gallup, travel authorities have laid down three basic rules for motorists planning trips. One, see that your car is in good condition. Two, carry spare water and gasoline. And three, stay out of Brooklyn. Well, Brooklyn's a very confusing city. Half the people live there and half of the people who came to visit them and can't find their way back. About a year ago, I had to visit my Uncle Julius in Brooklyn. You got a big part here, haven't you? My Uncle Julius was in Brooklyn. I went to visit him. He'd been away for 6 months because of a very serious operation. They extracted a stranger's wallet from his hand. Anyway, my wife... You can say, huh? Say it.
Huh?
Thank you very much. Anyway, my wife and I, we had this experience with the automobile, and we got in the car together. We crossed the Brooklyn Bridge. We were immediately lost.
Milton, are you sure you know where you're going? That's the third time we passed those kids beating up a policeman.
Well, here are the directions in Uncle Julius's letter. It says, take Flatbush Avenue and turn left when you get to a dead horse. Then six blocks till you see a sign that says, we want Stanky back. And then turn left...
Milton, we've been twisting and turning for 2 hours looking for Sullivan Street. Will you stop and ask somebody?
Will you stop and ask somebody?
All right. Here's a gasoline station. I'll ask the attendant. Attendant?
Yes, sir? Any gas, oil, water, Leo DeRosa buttons?
No, I want to find out how to get to my Uncle Julius's house. The number is...
Hey, you from New York?
What'd you say?
You from New York?
Yes, I'm from New York.
I got a friend lives in New York. Ever run into him? I forget his name. He's got a mustache.
Mustache? No, I guess we just keep missing each other. Look, how do I get to Sullivan Street?
That's his name, Solomon. He's a furrier. He lives in the Bronx.
Now, wait a minute. How do I get to Sullivan Street?
Keep your shirt on. This is my first day in Brooklyn.
Your first day?
Yeah, I'm from Texas.
Now, look, Tex, all I want is some directions to get to Sullivan Street.
I'll call my boss. He's in back draining out antifreeze. Oh, Mr. Fogginigan. Wonderful guy. Loves to drain out antifreeze. Here he comes. Hello, boss. I was just talking about you.
How you were you? You're fired. Now, what can I do for you, sir?
Well, how do I get to...
Hey, that face. I've seen it before.
Very likely. Radio actor. Burl.
You radiator, Burl? I'll drain the antifreeze.
Wait a minute. All I want...
I'll explain. Look, boss, this guy is from New York.
I want Sullivan Street.
Solomon?
Solomon's in the Bronx.
And he comes from New York to Brooklyn looking for the Bronx?
Yeah.
You're drunk. Pick up your check. You're fired.
Hold it now. Just silly. Listen closely. Please, my name is Burl. I'm visiting my uncle on Sullivan.
Your name is Burl and Sullivan's your uncle?
Wait a minute.
You're fired. Take up your check. Now, what can I do for you, sir?
I'm looking for a job.
That's fine. I like your looks. You're hired.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, please. Now, let's do this slowly. I have an uncle. He lives on Sullivan Street.
Sullivan Street? My wife's first husband lived on Sullivan Street. Hey, Lalani.
Don't bother, please. Don't bother.
She's just down in the pit loosening the nuts on the Chevy.
Oh.
She's a nice woman.
Yeah, fire.
Pick up your check. Look, boys, now please.
Lelani, wasn't your first husband on Sullivan?
No, his name was Plotkin.
I know where Pitkin Avenue is.
She said Plotkin.
Plotkin's dead.
Plotkin wasn't on Pitkin.
I don't care about Plotkin.
Neither do I, dead.
I want my Uncle Sullivan on Burl Avenue.
I thought his name was Pitkin.
She said Plotkin.
He was crushed to death at Ebbets Field.
Ebbets Field?
That's on Sullivan.
Sullivan?
Sullivan's in the Bronx.
Ask anybody in New York. He's got a mustache.
I'm from New York.
Oh, a foreigner.
No, Sullivan's a furrier.
Shelter, shelter! I just want to see my Uncle Furrier on Plotkin Avenue.
He's buried behind second base.
That's Plotkin. I want Sullivan.
Oh, Sullivan.
Oh, Sullivan.
Oh, Sullivan's a heel.
So is Plotkin.
No, no, Sullivan's a furrier.
I quit.
Yeah, fire.
Pick up your check. Now, what can I do for you, sir?
I like 6 gallons of that.
Stop, stop. Wait a minute, wait
come
a minute.
Come on, come on, break it up, break it up.
Oh, thank goodness, a policeman. I'm saved. Saved. Officer, please, can you tell me how to get to Sullivan Street?
Of course, sir. It's very simple.
Well, good, good.
You see, you take the Schmalman Avenue bus on the cord base. That takes you off on the street because you find that there's nothing to give you the direction of the place.
Everybody knows.
Friends, remember the words of the eminent nose and throat specialist whose statement you heard a little while ago.
In cases of irritation of the nose or throat, it is my usual practice with my patients who smoke to suggest that they change to Philip Morris.
Yes, there's a difference in Philip Morris that distinguishes it from any other leading brand. And to you, that difference means a cleaner smoke, a fresher, milder smoke than you've ever known before. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
This is your boyfriend, Milton, saying goodnight. See you next Tuesday. Good night, Mom.
Good night.
This is Johnny again, playing miles and thousands of store windows and corridors all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and...
For a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke, join the millions who call for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. Hello, hello, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.